back on Canucks Central. It's Dan Riccio and Vic Bizarre in today. Sat taking a maintenance day after working all weekend. It's not like Vic didn't work all weekend. Just throwing that out there.
Should be noted, I'm taking Wednesday off.
Okay. I digress.
Sat was just quicker to the draw.
This text coming in from Joe. I hate to beat a dead horse, but Canuck sure could use Zadorov right about now. $1 million more, and he would have been ours. What a joke. It's Joe and Smithers. I've said this numerous times. Even as Columbus is losing 2-0 to, or sorry, Boston is losing 2-0 to Columbus right now. If you're couching for Zadorov to be a Canuck, I don't think you've watched much of him in Boston so far. It's been a tough watch. And if you look back at his time in Vancouver, objectively, you know, his playoff was great. Certainly a stretch in the playoffs where he got hot. But, you know, there was a healthy scratch in there. He only played 17 minutes a night. It's not like he was this stud defenseman that fixes all of the Canucks' issues. I think what they're missing is a legit top four D-man. And to me, that's not what Zadorov is.
He was more fun than functional.
Yeah.
And that's why I referenced Ian Cole's name earlier. And that's why I think, you know, Forbert's absence here has played a big role in who carries those hard minutes the way Soucy and Myers have so far.
Let's bring in our next guest. He joins us every single Monday from Donnie and Dolly on Czech TV, 10 to noon, Monday through Friday. It is the legend himself, Don Taylor. It's crazy that a team with a record like this is garnering as much criticism as they are, and I don't think anybody is hiding away from the fact that it's kind of warranted with the Canucks right now.
Sat's not there today?
No, he's maintenance.
Sorry, you got to deal with me today, Donnie.
Maintenance.
No, no, I just thought maybe that talk had benched him.
I mean, Tockett's pulling out a lot of cards right now, so it's possible. I don't know.
It's the trend in the city. Did you guys mention it?
I like, you can hear it in Donnie's voice. He's playing hurt. He's a team player.
Right? I am. Yeah. It's bad. It's bad. but I'm sucking it up. Yeah, it's just it's frustrating right now, and especially, you know, where they're losing. I mean, you know, it's being 6-1 on the road. It's almost funny. It's just so Canuck, but it's 6-1 on the road, and the difficulties at home, and man, just. You know, against the opposition that, so far hasn't been exactly murderer's row. What is, I heard earlier on your station today, the 29th or 30th, your softest schedule to this point. And the way they're losing, you know, the 10 games at home, and in five of the losses, they've given up more than five goals, five or more goals. Including yesterday against the Nashville team that had been struggling. It's just really, it's just bad for business. It's just, it's really frustrating. I don't think many people saw it coming. I don't know who did.
Well, the last four losses, they're 5-5, 7-6, right? It's just, it's not even like a tight 3-2 loss or something like that. And, you know, we reference identity so much. I'm sure you've done it on your show too. Yeah. Just, you know, last year, even when it didn't go well, and it did take a minute to like believe in what the start was last year, but it felt like they had something to rely upon last year. That hasn't emerged so far in the early part of the season.
Well, what they relied upon a lot was Thatcher Demko, and he's not there. And as strong as Kevin Lankin was at the start, it seems that we're now seeing what maybe we thought we were going to get with him. And I'm not certainly putting all the blame on him. There's a lot of blame to go around, and certainly Rick Tocchet would tell you that. But you know, you don't have your Vezina finalist goaltender there to back up any mistakes that you've made, and that's rearing its ugly head. And then, you know, Besser's not there right now. And Dakota Joshua earlier in the season, they're deeper than they were, but they're not that deep. And it's pretty tough. And then last night, it was just so strange to see them, you know, a goal behind late and JT Miller's on the bench. It was just really, really Canuck. It was hard to watch for a lot of people.
Yeah, like there was a stretch last year in November into December where they went 4-6, right? And you know, that's not a banner stretch at all. But as you just mentioned, like they had Demko, they had Besser, and they had these things, and they were healthy. How much do you attribute right now to exactly that, right? Like Joshua is out in the early going, and it's probably going to take him, you know, a month or two to really get up to speed, to catch up everyone, to be on even footing. Demko, we we know Besser, like, and JT Miller right now, you know, playing without Besser on his wing. How much do you attribute to just, you know, not common state and health like we saw last year?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you think about last year, for the most part, really healthy, and career years from so many players. And, you know, like, some of the people that are way smarter than me, you know, and which isn't saying much, saying, hey, is that going to happen again? So those were the people that, and they were few and far between, who said maybe last year was a one-off. And maybe it's like that, but you're missing your stud goal. I hate to go back, guys. But just you're missing that stud goaltender, and you know, to make up for those mistakes. And you mentioned what they did in November, a bit, and they tailed off a bit. But they had that foundation at the beginning, where there was that belief there, especially a beginning that started, if that's proper English, a beginning that started with you know, big wins over the Oilers. You know, really, really hurtful wins to the Oilers, a division rival, and certainly set the tone for a great career season from Brock Besser. And there's so much more there to this point last season. It's going to be really interesting. Everybody seems so confident that they're going to turn things around. It's hard to see right now, especially without Demko.
Yeah. You're getting to a point where, the nerves are starting to pick up. It's like, okay, I thought they would have started to turn it around by now. It's like, okay, funny joke, guys. It's over.
Yeah.
time to pick it up. And they haven't really. And this next month, because the schedule is going to pick up and it's going to be a lot heavier. We already saw the back-to-backs, their first 3-4 over the weekend. And they lose two of the three there. Schedule is only going to get harder from here, given how easy it was to start. And then there's, you know, this situation here with JT Miller. It's not quite torts benching Roberto Luongo for the Heritage Classic, but it's surprising to see a star player like JT get benched for the entirety of a third period, especially when you're down one goal for most of that time. And I'm not absolving JT of his play. It hasn't been good enough. I know he's going through an injury, but you know, you're on the ice. There's still an expectation of you. And the defensive side of the puck has been, I think, probably what Tocchet is more concerned about than even the offense for JT right now. But I think it's also a sign of a bigger issue that Tocchet isn't getting these guys to buy into the game plan in the same way that he did last season. And Tocchet's kind of, I don't know, is he running out of answers? It feels like he's going to the well quite a bit of all the coaching cards that he has to play here.
Yeah, and I think JT Miller's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Every player is going to have his ups and downs, but I think this is a big picture move in that, yeah, you know, I'm not saying that move to not play him in the third period cost him the game, but I think it was with the thinking JT can take it. It's going to have way more impact than it would, say, benching Atu Ratu. And this is more about the team than it is about JT Miller. If he can get benched, we all can get benched. And I think that's what this is all about. And I think Rick Tocchet believes that JT Miller understands that and that the team should be better for it. It's not that he hasn't made mistakes. And I think, you know, we've talked a lot about Elias Pettersson moving his feet. I think that's been an issue for JT Miller lately. And also, guys, those cute little, oftentimes, you know, behind the back drop passes that he does, that he just assumes are going to work. I think that's getting to Rick talking a bit. So there's a lot there, but I think this is a big picture move with the team in mind as much or more than JT Miller.
You know, as much as we joke of like how hot it gets in this market about things, you know, Reach made a good point in the first segment that, you know, Rick Tocchet's actually played a couple of cards here in quick succession. You're talking about ticket prices and doing it for the home fans and now benching a guy. I don't know if that's aided to it as well, because these are big moments that we are obviously going to spend a lot of time chatting about. Just in general, like, are you a fan of how Rick Tocchet has kind of handled this all so far this year?
I'm just a fan of listening to him talk about hockey. I just love listening to him talk. And with his resume as a player and to some extent as a coach, I know things didn't go the way he probably wanted to in Tampa Bay and in Arizona. But I just think he's got a plan, and I like the way he handles things. And I just think when he makes a move like that, somebody with with that much weight behind him career-wise, I like the things he's. That's a ballsy move yesterday, and I think they really really need that. So I'm a fan of what he's done so far. The interesting part is, I don't know about you guys, but we had a lot of texts today saying, "Well, why did you do this with Pedersen? Yeah. You know, earlier in the season when he was struggling with what he's making." But I think he knows the personality of his players, and I guess the belief is that that JT Miller can take this, and that maybe Pedersen would crumble in the face of this sort of adversity if he was benched for at a significant moment. So I have to believe in what, you know, Rick Tocchet's been around long enough. He has enough of a strong presence. Certainly he knows enough about hockey. I like the moves he's made. It's just that none of them have really worked so far.
Yeah, the most we saw Tocchet sitting Pedersen was, I guess, against Carolina, where he only played 16:38. That would be his low of the season. Nothing quite like what we saw with JT. It was more like, hey, I'm going to dial back your minutes here a little bit because you're not going the way I need you to. Whereas with JT, it was a strict benching last night. You know, he sits the final 14:40 of the third period. And, you know, there's other parts of this roster where, you know, look, I still think it's a very talented roster, and I'm still confident they're going to the playoffs. But, you know, the defense and that Susie Myers pair, I mean, it's just it's been tough all season, and it doesn't seem to be progressing in a good direction here, Donnie. So I'm not sure what the solution is there.
Well, you know, and of course today we hear something, you know, from Pittsburgh that they're interested in unloading Marcus Pedersen, who's I believe a first pairing defenseman along with Erik Karlsson there, a left-handed defenseman, contractor running out. He's from Pittsburgh, and his name's Pedersen. So, of course, you know, you have to associate the...
Sounds like
the
a Canucks. Canuck to me.
The Canucks, yeah, exactly. So the Canucks with him, and you know, there's so much criticism of that Susie Byers pairing. And I know they kill a lot of penalties, but the criticism is there. That would be a surprising move. It's just that you have to wonder what they'd would have to give up. And if you give up something significant, you know, does it all go out the door because he's going to be a UFA in the summer? And you know, is it time? Does Rutherford and Alvin believe enough in this team to make a move like that? This team right now, do they believe enough in it to make that move? They made it last year. What was it, November last year when they got the door off?
Mm-hmm. The 31st, yeah.
Okay, there you go. So, well, not the 31st of November, right? But
30th November, out, yeah.
Yeah. November's not the one where the leap year comes into play.
Right? Yeah,
hey, you were close. You were one off. You know? So maybe the timing is right this time around as well. That was a great moment there. You know, that was fabulous.
Well, I mean, you might be battling with something here, Donnie, but you're still sharp. Still sharp.
That's right. I caught that. You know, maybe Bick's going to be getting a cold now. I don't know.
Donnie, we'll let you sleep this one off. Thanks so much for this today.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it anytime.
There he is. Don Taylor joining us here on Canuck Central, as he does every Monday, and even playing hurt.
Competing
when he's not at 100%. That's what you love to see out of your sports radio talent and sports television talent, as with Donnie. And, you know, we talked about it a little bit in the opening segment. But on defense, you don't have a ton of options.
Mm-hmm.
And you have imperfect fits. And ultimately, like, when I think back to Penn Ticton and Sad asking Quinn Hughes about the idea of him and Hronek playing on separate pairs, and Quinn not being a fan of it, clearly. Hey, I'll do whatever I have to, but yeah, don't fix what ain't broke at the same time. And I get it because, one, yeah, it works incredibly well, so why would you change that? Just figure out the other minutes on the ice. And two, Quinn sees what we all see, and there's really nobody else that's going to be able to get even remotely close of the best out of Quinn Hughes, which is, as much as, yes, you need depth in your lineup and depth through your decor, what helps most teams in this league win on a night-to-night basis is their star players being able to perform like star players. And when Quinn's at his best, it's because he's got Filip Hronek next to him.
that's the thing. Like the job is to win the game.
Yeah.
Right. I know that sounds simple, but sometimes we get too far into the weeds of like this guy put this guy and what's best. What's best for the Vancouver Canucks is to win games.
Yeah, you just need Tony Dungy somewhere in the background. And, you play to win the game.
Herm Edwards.
Herm Edwards. My bad.
Hey, you know what? I didn't know how many days there were in November. That's fine. what gives them the best edge is Hughes and Roenick together. And it makes it inflexible at times. And it's not like it's all the time, every shift they come out together.
Yeah.
Like they do the defense by committee and they juggle the minutes a certain way, and they stagger it that way to get Hughes sometimes with someone, Roenick sometimes with someone. But what gives them the best chance is Hughes and Roenick together every single time. And I don't know if I want to risk exploring something while there's so many other question marks around the roster right now. Because Hughes and Roenick, when they're playing well, which has been enough so far this season, they can tilt the ice in your favor. They can move the puck up the ice, get it back into the offensive zone so frequently. But you are asking them right now to be special every night because we're talking about JT Miller getting benched. We had Elias Pettersson struggles. Brock Besser's out of the lineup. Thatcher Demko's not playing. On and on and on. Right now, that's kind of the only thing you can hold on, that Hughes and Roenick can tip the game into your favor when they're really on it. And last night, they weren't really on it, but they were good enough to try to win the game last night as a team. But you break that up. And even the construction to, if you were to break it up, everything feels imperfect.
Yeah.
And like I mentioned to you, okay, Branstrom and Hronik would be my first suggestion.
Yeah.
So who are you playing with Hughes?
Tyler Myers would be the best option.
So then we're going Susie and
Tyler Myers and Quinn Hughes is kind of like Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger together.
Yeah.
You know, it's an imperfect fit again.
Think of the memes if it works out.
It would be great.
If it worked out.
I know, but there was a time early in the summer where people wondered could Vinny Desharnais play in that spot and just like ultra simplify his game and hey, just give the puck over to Quinn and let him do his thing and I'm just going to be the guy that boxes people out and plays good defense.
But then he's got to do that. He's got to show that.
He's got to be able to show that he can do that.
So then do you want to do Hughes-Juleson and Roenick-Susie and then Branstrom-Myers? That feels like it's kind of dangerous.
Yes. It's not ideal. It's
a classic offensive line thing, right? Of, oh, our right tackle or our left tackle is down, so let's move our right tackle across.
Yes.
And now we got two problems instead of just doing the replacement on the one side. I'd be really concerned. Unless they had like two other lines really going that were dominating play and creating goals and you could rely on that to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, the Canucks' biggest trump card to go win the game is Hughes from Roenick.
And they just don't have enough options elsewhere. Neil from Surrey asking, when's Rylander going to be ready to play with the big club? And when do you pull the trigger and trade Höglander for help on defense? I'm not sure if Höglander's getting you any... Höglander's not getting you a slam dunk solution on defense, you know, because he himself is a 12 minute a night guy who's even at $3 million next year isn't, you know, he's thought of as kind of a middle six player. So what is a middle six defenseman in that sort of scope? Generally, defensemen are worth more than wingers anyhow. So it's like, what kind of a defenseman is Höglander landing you? Is it a Timothy Liljegren type? You know, like I'm telling you, Nils Höglander on his own isn't enough to get you David Jiříček. And even if that was the case, like, guess what? David Jiříček is a project in and of himself, even though he was a six overall pick. It's not like he's just going to come here and be like, oh, this is the solution to all of our problems. Like, there's a reason he's playing less than 10 minutes a night in Columbus.
It's a more exciting project.
Yes.
Right? Because if it works, the high end feels like a
potential long-term solution. Sure. But does it help you right now? I'm not
sure.
But
I would wager on the project scale, because that one might need less refining.
Yeah.
Because it's a high pedigree player. But on the project scale, you're probably going to get something closer to Vinny Desharnais.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, again, that requires work, and we're month two into it, but that's kind of what you're looking for. I don't even think a Höglander is getting you Nikita Zadorov version of last year.
Yeah, and Zadorov was a very unique situation, much like Liljegren was for San Jose this year. where team just wanted to get rid of that guy, and first team that stepped up to make that deal ended up getting that deal done at a pretty fair price. As for Tom Volander, he's playing really well with BU this year, but he's going to play the entire college season. So
yeah,
at best, you know, it's towards the spring where he could potentially sign with the Canucks. And would that, you know, is he going to be able to help in the playoffs? Trying to think of guys that have been able to make the jump from college straight into Stanley Cup playoff games. It's like Cale Makar, and that's pretty much it. So not a long list. And if you're putting that kind of expectation on Tom Volander, that's a lot for a young right shot defenseman to handle. Dan Riccio and Bick Nizar. More of your texts, plus Frank Saravalli is going to join us. The reports of the cap getting raised pretty quickly here and to a higher level than what we expected. What does that mean for the league? What does that mean for the Vancouver Canucks? We'll get into all of that and more with our Monday Hockey Insider, Frank Saravalli, next on Canuck Central.
Discussing the biggest stories that matter to Vancouver sports fans. Halford and Brough in the morning. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.